Blog Talk Radio.
Miami. South Beach, bringing the heat. Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that? Jig it out. Here I am in the place where I come let go. In Miami, the base and the sunset low. Every day like a Mardi Gras. Everybody party all day. No work, all play, okay? So we sip a little something, leave the rest to spill. Me and Charlie at the bar, running up a high bill. Nothing less than ill. When we dress to kill. Every time the ladies pass, they be like, can y'all feel me? All ages and races, real sweet faces. Every different nation, Spanish, Cajun, Indian, Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, or Asian. I only came for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always wind up staying. This the type of town I can spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing. Rainstorms ain't nothing to mess with, but I can't feel a drip on the strip. It's a trip, ladies have dress full of your quip, and they be screaming out. So I'm thinking I'ma scoop me something hot in this South Summer Green Game Melting Pot. Hottest club in the city, and it's right on the beach. Temperature, get the air, it's about 500 degrees in the Caribbean seas with the hot mommies screaming. Every time I come to town, they be spotting me in the drop Bentley, ain't no stopping me. So cash in your dough and flow to this fashion show, pound for pound, anywhere you go. Yo, ain't no city in the world like this. And if you ask how I know, I got to plead the fifth. Is a city that we know don't sleep, and we all know that LA and Philly stay jiggy. But on the sneak, Miami bringing heat for real. Y'all don't understand. I've never seen so many Dominican women with cinnamon tans. Me and this is the plan. Take a walk on the beach, draw a heart in the sand. Give me your hand, damn, you look sexy. Let's go to my yacht in the West Keys, ride a jet skis, lounge under the palm trees. Cause you gotta have cheese for the summer house peace on South Beach. Water so clear, you can see to the bottom. $100,000 car, everybody got 'em. Ain't no surprise in the club to see spots. Still on Miami. My second home.
Hey, this is Austin Dillon, driver of the Dallas Chevrolet, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big thanks to Talladega Super Speedway Track President Grant Lynch and Public Relations Director Russell Branham. It's not too early to purchase your tickets for the Winn-Dixie 300 on May the 2nd for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Or the Talladega 500, May the 3rd for next year for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. To purchase your tickets, call 877-GO-TODEGA or visit TalladegaSuperspeedway.com. As Grant Lynch always says, this is more than a race. This is Talladega. I want to bring on my good friend from out on the left coast out there, Mr. Reverend Joe, and we're going to get everything started. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Good. Good evening, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. Got a lot to talk about. We got a big show lined up. How was everything in Phoenix, bud?
Phoenix was great. The crowd was unbelievable. The people were great. Got to meet with a lot of folks that I haven't seen in a while because it's kind of a distance between the shows that I get to, budget-wise, you know, so the schedule is kind of spread out where the you got West Coast races that are in the early part of the season, and then we get to the very end of the season and we have a race or two. So it's always good to catch up and find out what's going on. There's a lot of changes coming, and this is the time of the year where a lot of people who are the people we don't all pay attention to, you know, pit crew members, officials, other such people, radio personalities, TV personalities who are uncertain of where they're working next year. And you've got the stress of all that and everything else that's going on through the summer. So there's a lot of good prayer time, a lot of good time to meet with good friends and help comfort them and find out what's going on with them. And there's an awful lot of people out there. And I ask everybody in the Pit Stop Nation to be praying for all those folks involved with auto racing all over the country who have all those stresses right now on them and family members who are ill.
Yes, sir. 10-4, got you, bud.
Shall we get the party started? And maybe you got a couple of minutes after that, I can give you a little bit more.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Reverend Joe.
All right. Lord, we come before you today, and we thank you so much for the safe weekend last weekend and actually how safe this whole season has been. We've had very few major injuries and such. We ask your blessings upon all those who are suffering illnesses and all those who suffered losses in their families, like the Sauter family and so many others. It's just part of life. Your word says that after we had the fall in the garden, that death would come into the world, and it sure has. And naturally, the longer I'm in this business, the longer we see people lost to just plain old age. But please, Lord, be with us all. Be with all of those that are traveling straight to Miami this weekend. Talk to so many of the drivers and truck drivers and such that are on their way straight there. There's no break in between, but they're all looking forward to that time after that that they can spend with their families. And I ask you to bless them all, bless all involved. And here on Veterans Day, please, Lord, bless all of our soldiers, be with their families, and fortify all of them, and give our nation the strength to turn back to you. And we thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe. Another great invocation, especially on this Veterans Day. And we're going to give you a couple minutes. We've got a couple minutes before Megan Thomas, ABC 3340 meteorologist from Birmingham, comes on with the weather from Homestead. So you got the floor again, my friend. Go ahead.
All righty. Well, just wanted to tell you that we had a wonderful weekend at Vegas, very exhausting, but there's an awful lot of walking you do at a racetrack. And even though that one's only a mile, it's still an awful lot of walking around and spent a lot of time with, like I said, a lot of good people. But there's a lot of changes coming up for next season. NASCAR hasn't announced those yet, but there'll be some changes that I think people will like. There was a lot of excitement with the last race before the final of the chase. Had some good conversations with a lot of good drivers, especially Ryan Newman, who I've known for a long time, and told him he was all set and he was going to make it in. And when it was all over, I don't know, I'm sure you could see it on the TV, I couldn't, but he was sitting on the wall and then slid down onto the ground because he was so exhausted. And I walked over to him between interviews and I said to him, "Told you you were going to make it." And he said to me, "You didn't tell me it was going to be this exhausting." He was just spent. And I got a kick out because I told Richard Childress, I said, it was about time you put the bulldozer behind the wheel of the bulldozer, because Ryan is built like a bulldozer and Caterpillar's the right sponsor for him, I think. But I think this weekend coming up is going to be interesting. And there are an awful lot of people, though, who are suffering with people and their families and such that are ill among the racing community. And I just want everyone to please keep them all in their prayers. I want to thank all those wonderful people who helped us make it to Phoenix and make it back with some sponsorship money and such. Won't bring up their names because God says if I tell the world, they'll lose their blessing in heaven. So we don't want to waste that on. But there were some great people who came alongside of us and helped us. Because I got to Phoenix with a quarter of a tank of gas and just enough money to get in the campground and no money to get back home. And ended up getting back home very handsomely. So we're always happy when people help out and care that we're there. And we just had a really great time with a lot of wonderful, wonderful people.
Yes, sir. Amen, Reverend Joe. And again, I'm glad everything worked out. Yes, sir. I am glad everything worked out. And I want to thank you again for being the Reverend on our show. And you got the spot from now on till whenever we quit, which we do not plan on quitting.
Exactly. So you guys have a great show and a great week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Reverend Joe. Have a great week, and God bless you, and can't wait
God
to talk to you after Homestead. We've got Humpy Weather coming on next Tuesday night, too, so that's going to be very interesting, Reverend Joe.
Well, very good. Cool. We'll be talking to you then. Take care.
All right. Take care, bud. All right, that was our Reverend out of California. Mr. Reverend Joe, he always comes on, does a great invocation. And at this time, I'd like to bring on my good friend and CEO, SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Virginia Little. Stephen, how's everything up there in Richmond, Virginia this evening, bud?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's kind of sprinkling a little bit off and on, and I pulled the fire pit out to sit out around the fire pit, and, well, hopefully the rain holds off long enough.
Yeah, I understand. You know, Suzanne got a text from Tony up there in Indianapolis. I think they got a bunch of snow, but at this time, if you can, Stephen, can you hold on the side right there? We've got my good friend Megan Thomas, meteorologist, ABC 3340. In Birmingham, we want to bring Megan on and let her get, I don't know if she can do your forecast, but she's definitely going to get everything ready for Homestead. So at this time, let's bring on meteorologist Megan.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Good evening,
well,
Megan. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. As you probably heard, Stephen said he's done brought out the fire pit up there in Richmond, Virginia. Said he's got some sprinkles going on, and I don't want to put you on the spot as far as weather up there, but you got the floor to do our weather forecast for the race weekend, Homestead Miami Speedway.
Absolutely. Well, just letting you guys know, here in Birmingham and Central Alabama, you might want to bring that fire pit out as well, because it's going to be cold, very cold. Friday, we're looking at highs near 40. Friday night in the 20s, but if you're headed to the race, you don't have to bring a jacket at all. Highs are going to be in the 80s on Sunday. Doesn't that sound nice?
Yes, ma'am. We need to go to Miami, don't we, Megan?
Yes, it'll be mostly sunny, highs in the 80s. On Sunday night, there is a slight chance for a stray shower or two, but I don't expect a whole lot. Lows will be in the upper 60s.
Well, good.
So
and back here
we've got
home,
a nice race weekend.
Yes, ma'am. And again, back here at home, I was filling in for the dispatcher a while ago at Coosa Valley Electric, you know, just watching, make sure we didn't have any outages while the crew chief made it home. And I was watching James and them on Focus at 4. And
the S
word come up, Megan. What's going on?
Do
I need to go get milk and bread?
Yeah, so once we get this little Arctic front to come through, basically all this is just a cold front from Canada. Air in Canada obviously is a lot colder than air out in the Pacific, where typically our cold fronts come from. So that's why this is so cold. But in front of it, we have a little bit of rain. And then once that wraps around, when it drops the temperature so significantly and you have higher elevations in places, you'll see some snow flurries out there. Now, it's not going to be a January event like we saw last year. It's not going to be like that at all. We might not even see any snow flurries. But north, I think like north the Tennessee Valley, Huntsville area, you could see a stray flake or two. But here in central Alabama, I think we're looking at just rain.
Okay. Sounds great. Stephen, do you have any questions for our meteorologist, Megan Thomas?
No, I do not. Appreciate you coming on tonight, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I love doing it.
Megan, thank you very much. We enjoy having you. And do you want to throw out there for everybody where they can follow you on Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, absolutely. Follow me on Twitter at MegTom, MEGTOM underscore WX. And then on Facebook, it's just meteorologist Megan Thomas.
That sounds great. Megan, thank you
again.
And thank you very much for keeping all of us around here focused on what all is going on. You're doing a great job.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Megan.
Absolutely. Enjoy the weekend.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, Megan. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Okay, Stephen, that was our meteorologist, Megan Thomas. We got all that out of the way. I knew we've got a ton to cover. And I want to throw out right now, at the bottom of the hour, 7:30 Eastern time, our first guest on the show is going to be driver of the number 20 Chevrolet for NTS Motorsports and NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Mr. Greg Alden. And coming on at the top of the hour, his teammate, driver of the number 9 Chevrolet for NTS Motorsports, NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Brennan Newberry. We have a great show lined up. It's going to be NTS Motorsports Night. Do you have anything you want to talk about all right off the bat, or do we need to get started on everything happening at Phoenix?
Yeah, let's get rolling on Phoenix because we've got one more race left in the year, and that's going to be it.
Okay, that sounds good, bud. Let me get my other two eyes on here. The NASCAR K&N Pro Series West. Race their last race, race number 14 at Phoenix International Raceway. The race winner was Nick Drake, driver of the number 99 car, Napa Auto Parts Toyota. And Greg Alden, our guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, finished second in the Krispy Kreme Chevrolet. And to round all that off, Greg Persley won the K&N Pro Series West Championship. Big shout out to him, and I won't take much time on that because we got a lot of talk about Steven. If you want to go with the trucks or whatever you want me to do,
if you go with the trucks, I'll do Nationwide and Sprint Cup.
Okay, sounds good to me. I know we hadn't had much time to talk. NASCAR Camping World Truck Series was at Phoenix International Raceway this past weekend, race number 21, for the 20th run of Lucas Oil 150. At Phoenix International Raceway. Your winner was Mr. Eric Jones and Dollar General Toyota. And race comments. Eric Jones won the Lucas Oil 150 at Phoenix International Raceway, his fourth NASCAR Camping World Truck Series victory. Prior to the start of the race, the following trucks dropped to the rear of the field for the reasons indicated. 10, 50, 74, unapproved adjustments. And your top 10, Eric Jones, I said, was your winner. Matt Crafton, which is more than likely going to be your NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion come the end of the day in Miami Homestead. Third was Cole Custer. Fourth was Ryan Blaney. Fifth was Ben Rhodes. Sixth was Darrell Wallace Jr. Seventh was John H. Nemechek. Eighth was Austin Dillon. Ninth was Johnny Sauter. And tenth was Tyler Reddick. Go ahead, bud. You got the floor.
Yes, so Saturday with the Nationwide Series, next to last race, run at Phoenix International Raceway. Kevin Harvick dominated pretty much the entire part of the day coming out to the closing laps there. Brad Keselowski was able to get by him finally. Winning the race, Kevin Harvick finished second out there. And Chase Elliott, 18 years old, first time in the NASCAR Nationwide Series that a rookie has won. Not only the Rookie of the Year Championship, but the NASCAR Nationwide Series Championship in the same year. He finished up 52 points ahead of teammate Regan Smith. He only needed 48 leaving out of Phoenix. He'll be crowned next week, going into Homestead. He just needs to start the race. Well, actually, he didn't even really need to start the race at this point, but he, first time, 18 years old. Congratulations to him. You know, that's a huge accomplishment, not only for him, but the series in general, that, you know, that kind of competition this year. There are some battles there for third, fourth, fifth place in the points championship, but Regan Smith will, as long as something doesn't happen very early on, he'll be second place in the NASCAR Nationwide Championship next week at Homestead.
Yeah, great. Great big shout out to Chase, and I'm glad the young kid won the championship. I mean, he deserved everything he got, Stephen. I'm sorry, I just had to butt in there. You go ahead, bud. Catch us up on the Cup stuff.
Yeah, sure, not a problem. Cup Series run there on Sunday. I mean, I don't know really what to say. Kevin Harvick. I mean, that's it. Kevin Harvick. I mean, he dominated everything from the beginning of the race to the end of the race. You know, there was a few little incidents throughout the race where Kevin Harvick didn't get the greatest start, but he was able to get by a couple laps. Didn't take him very long to do so. Ended up winning the race. Jeff Gordon, he was strong all day long, but he just couldn't come out with it. He finished second, and even with his second place finish, it was not enough to move him on into Homestead next week. Joey Logano had some issues early on in the pit stops. He left out of his pit and drug a gas can out of his pit. He was able to come back, overcome that, and get into the championship next week at Homestead along with Kevin Harvick, Ryan Newman, Joey Logano, and Denny Hamlin.
Yeah, and you hit on another good point there, Steve. You know, you were talking about Jeff Gordon. Excuse me. He finished second, and he was in until turn four coming off of Phoenix. And you know what Ryan Newman did? He didn't really move him. He got up there and sort of shoved Kyle Larson out of the way. And I'm pretty sure Kyle Larson would have done the same thing to Newman if he was in that situation. I don't think nothing was done wrong. I'm glad there was no penalties come down from Robin Pemberton and Kerry Tharp at NASCAR. That's just part of the nature of the sport, part of the beast part of the new chase format that NASCAR has created. Do you think Ryan Newman was in the right by sort of giving Kyle a little bump to go on to Homestead to be in the Final Four?
I mean, Ryan Newman did exactly what he had to do. I mean, he did, you know, we can go back to last week, with the issue between Jeff Gordon and Brad Keselowski. Ryan Newman was in a similar position where he had to get that spot away from Kyle Larson. He went out there. He did what he was paid to do after the race. Even Kyle Larson said, if I was in that position, I would have done the same thing to him. I don't think that, anything was done. No harm, no foul. Nobody really got wrecked up, tore up. He just moved him out the way, a little bump and run. Ryan Newman, he did exactly what he is paid to do, and that's go out there and either win the race or get into that championship, and he has done that.
Exactly right. Amen, Stephen. Just like I said about last weekend at Texas, Jeff Gordon left a hole. Brad Keselowski put it in there, and everybody, the heat of the moment and everything that went on, he done exactly what he said. Me and you both watched the post-race conference from last week at Texas, and we watched it, this weekend from Phoenix. Brad Keselowski said he gets paid to win a race. And Roger Penske has said time after time he's going to stand behind his driver. And I wish I was a NASCAR driver, but, Stephen, I would have done the same thing Brad Keselowski done at Texas. I had to keep bringing up the week before. I would have done the same thing Ryan Newman done at Phoenix. There's a lot of fans that some of my people here at work that I have talked to that says, why did Ryan Newman do that? He does not have a win. He's not going to win a championship. I said, how do you know that? He put himself in a position to be in a Final Four at Miami Homestead, and anything can happen with this new chase format.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anything can happen. It doesn't matter. Even if you don't win the race next week, the championship drivers that are going to be out there racing for 267 laps, 400 miles, to decide the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series championship, do not get bonus points next week of any kind, not for leading the lap, not leading the most laps. It's going to be purely based on who is, you know, out front of the other one. You don't necessarily have to win. And you know, those are the kinds of moves that you're going to have to make next week at Miami. You may have to bump somebody out the way, move them out the way, do whatever you got to do to get in front of somebody. But these guys are paid to go out there, and they're paid to do it. Roger Penske, Richard Childress, Rick Hendrick, everybody out there knows the deal. Nobody is doing anything that hasn't been done over 64 years in NASCAR to win a championship or to win a race. I mean, these same exact moves were pulled back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s with Dale Earnhardt Sr. He would bump somebody out the way and wreck them and put them into the wall to win a race. And these guys are doing nothing more than that now. And I don't know what has changed, but the NASCAR fans seem to not like it as much. But you know what? That's just racing. These guys are paid to go out there and win that race. They're paid to go out there and win a championship at the end of the year, and that's what they're doing. You can't fault any of the 43 drivers for putting themselves in position, and if another driver happens to leave a little hole in there where another driver thinks he can get through, well, they're going to go for it. They're going to do what they got to do, and that's just going to be the, you know, be the end of it, whether it be right, wrong, or indifferent.
Exactly right, Stephen. I could not have said it better. And I think, you know, I keep harping on this. NASCAR hit a home run on this new chase thing, and like I've heard a lot of people say, it's because, you know, you don't have your big name drivers. But Stephen, at this time we've got driver of the number 20 Chevrolet for NTS Motorsports in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Mr. Gary Gaudin, waiting. Let's bring Gary. I mean, not Gary. Gray. Sorry, Gray. Gray Gaudin into the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Gray, how you doing tonight, bud? Sorry about that. Got a little tongue-tied.
Oh, it's all good. I'm doing all right, man. Thank you.
Good. Thank you again for taking time to coming out out of your busy schedule to come on the show. I'm going to hand you over to my good friend, Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. I'll let him ask you a few questions, and when he gets done, he'll throw you back over to me. But again, thanks for coming on, Greg.
Yes, sir. Thanks, man.
Hey, Gray, Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. First question I got for you is that this year you've run a combination of not only the East K&N, but the West K&N and some truck series. How has that made you better as a driver out there running between multiple different series out there this year and different types of cars?
Yeah, I think it's made me better as a driver, you know, being able to run different cars and different vehicles from a car to a truck, and the, you know, the toughest thing is, you know, they're completely different. They drive completely different. It's a different tire. You know, the truck's got the radio tires, and the K&N's got the bi-ply tires. So, I mean, it's good, man. We've run good in all three of them. You know, we finished fourth, and I think it was like my fifth start at Canada, and we've been running up front all year long in the East Series, but we put ourselves in position to win four or five times, and I tell you what, we can't catch a break. We blew tires, blew motors, run out of gas. I mean, it's just like, oh my goodness. So that part was a little bit frustrating, you know, knowing that we should have had at least three or four trophies, and we didn't get none because Lady Luck didn't like us too much. But I really enjoyed this season. I think it's been fun to learn between the both vehicles, from the truck and the K&N. Like I said, they drive so differently. And, you know, just like this past weekend at Phoenix, you know, getting out of a truck and then hopping in a Canyon car and qualifying, and then getting out of that and practicing. It was a busy schedule, that's for sure. But I really enjoyed working with both sides of the crews, and I think we've been making big gains. I think next year we should be holding the championship trophy next year in K&N. So that's what we're going to go for next year as well.
And you came over from Coulter Motorsports into NTS Motorsports this year to run the K&N and the Truck Series out there. Was that, do you feel, just a natural progression in enabling you to get into the Truck Series ride, or do you feel that was a better situation for you with the experience and the backing that those guys had to be able to put you in multiple different series out there to get you that seat time that you need to move up in your career?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You know, I think it was just a good opportunity that came. You know, Bob Newberry was, you know, gave me the opportunity to run some truck races, and the K&N deal came in so late, and we worked that out. So, I mean, you know, it's a lot of hard work and effort came in this year, but the thing is, with NTS Motorsports, you know, it's got a big building and a lot of glitz and glamour, but at the end of the day, we're still a small team, and a lot of people don't know of us, and the thing is, you know, we're building our program each week, and, you know, I can promise you, I'll be straight up, going into this season, our trucks and K&N cars were not good. They were terrible, but we worked on them, we got them better, and that's why I think we're going to be even more successful. I think we made this year a really good training year, you know, to show that we're fast. No matter where we go, we're fast, whether I'm in a truck and a K&N car, I'm going to be a contender. So that's the main thing. But no matter how good you are and who you got working on it, if the equipment is not completely there, you know, you got to try to make the best out of what you got. And I feel like we really did a good job making the best out of what we had this year. So, you know, hey, at the end of the day, we're going to keep on working and getting better and better. But like I said, you know, NTS Motorsports, not only did I want to go out there and win races, because here's the thing, I hate to lose. And when Bob Newberry said, you know, I want you to run the trucks in the K&N, that was a no-brainer. So really happy that we got the opportunity with him. We're racing against the best in the business, you know, for racing against Kyle Busch, Red Horse, Turner. So in us as a small team, we were trying to get better and better each week. So I think we've done a pretty good job of that.
And my final question I got for you is that, you know, an NTS Motorsports, you know, has a technical alliance with Richard Childress Racing in order to provide a little bit of that technical know-how, especially going up against teams, as you said, with Kyle Busch and those guys. How do you feel that is helping the team out in general, just being able to know that you have somebody like Richard Childress Racing on your side, and even Austin Dillon that will come over and race with you guys on some weekends?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's a huge plus, you know. You know, at the end of the day, I feel like I'm real fast. No matter what I can get in, I feel like I can make it go fast. But at the end of the day, I'm still only 16, and I can't tell you what shock and what spring to put in it, but that's what I'm trying to learn, those kind of small things. So having guys, you know, like Austin Dillon come in and, you know, try to make our program better. I mean, he's one of the best drivers out there, and, you know, at the end of the day, if the trucks ain't right, you know, he's the guy that, you know, we really wanted to come in and tell us what we need to do, what he feels, you know. I feel like I got the pretty darn good feel for the seat of my pants when I drive, but like I said, I'm still learning, and I feel like that's where Austin really comes into play. Austin's a real good race car driver, and he really, really knows a lot about the cars. But, yeah, like you said, you know, we got Richard Childress, you know, we got ECR engines. They don't do a ton for us on the engineering side, but they have helped us. You know, Nick, the Nationwide Series crew chief, he's been helping us out. So you know, they've helped us out in small parts. But at the end of the day, all the help we can get is really cool with us. So I was really thankful that, you know, Austin and some of the RCR guys was able to try to help out our program. And I really think what we learned throughout this season, we'll be able to diagnose and put in the wind tunnel and put in the man hours throughout this off season, because the off season is our most important part of our season, basically. If you got to have all your stuff ready to go win races and win championships, and I think we should be able to win, you know, multiple races and go for the championship and K&N for sure, and fight for wins in the truck.
All right, great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show tonight, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. Appreciate it, and good luck throughout the rest of the year and going into 2015.
All right, thanks, man.
Steven, and thanks again, Gray. Great,
yes,
right
sir.
Off the bat, I want to congratulate you on a third place finish in points in NASCAR K&N Pro Series East. Great job, bud. Great,
thank you.
Great job. You're welcome. And you had nine starts in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series where your best finish of fourth was at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, which also your teammate Brandon Newberry, that was his best start. His best finish was seventh. So, do you have a lot of road course experience, Bud?
Oh no, that was actually my third time ever in a stock car on a road course, and I tell you what, I had more fun that race. You know, to be honest with you, I've never even seen the place when I got there. I got there and I took one or two laps in a tow truck, and the next day I was practicing. So I had to catch on pretty quick. But like you said, you know, we had a couple starts this year in the truck series, and I think for our organization and the way we've been building, I think fourth is pretty darn good to hang our hat on. But at the end of the day, everybody wants to win, and I know that's me. I hate to lose. But like I said, we're trying to get our program better and better, and, you know, we'll take a fourth, knowing that it was actually my first race with Chris Rice. My second race with Chris Rice, my new crew chief, off the bat, and we finished fourth together, and I was the rookie of the race. So we're making some gains, but I felt like that was a really, real fun race that we got to run.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But, yeah, with nine starts and finishing in the points where you did, I think you've done a really great job. And, Gray, do you and NTS Motorsports have any plans of running any more NASCAR Xfinity Series races next year?
NASCAR, the Nationwide / Xfinity Series, is that what you said?
Yes, sir. I've been having to try to correct myself because I keep wanting to say Nationwide, but it's going to be Xfinity.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
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 Well, no, we'll see. The thing is, I'm only 16 years old, so, you know, you got to be 18 to run the Xfinity Series. So, I mean, I'm not sure, but I did hear where, you know, there were some plans to run Brennan. You know, Brennan, he's of age. He's about to be, I think, 25, so he's able to run the Nationwide Series. But I'll be able to spectate, I guess. So if we did do any races like there, I know I'd probably be there with a headset on listening, because that's my goal is, you know, as soon as I turn 18, just bypass full-time truck and just go straight to Nationwide. Well, Xfinity.
Yeah, there you go. I'm having the same problem too, Gray. Yeah. But Stephen Wilson and I and my wife Suzanne and Anne Marie, we were at Martinville. That was my first trip up to Martinville, and I'm sort of getting off track here some, but what do you think about the Martinville hot dog? I have to throw that out there.
Oh, dude, I ain't a huge fan of hot dogs, but if I could eat 20 hot dogs, it'd probably be at Martinsville. There is no better. It's my favorite. I love it.
Yeah, that was my first one. And Stephen Wilson actually bought my first Martinsville hot dog, and he said, "Tim, if you don't eat it, you're going to wear it." I said, "Yes, sir, I will eat it." And it was something. It was something.
Oh, yeah,
great.
You got to get it all the way. You got to get it all the way.
Well, Stephen likes it with just chili, so that's what he brought us up there to the
to the
press box.
That's close enough. That's good stuff. The chili.
Yeah, that's what he brought up to the press box. So that's what we all eat. But yeah, anyway,
that's awesome.
I've been looking through notes, Gray. You're not going. Or correct me if I'm wrong. Are you going to Miami this weekend or not in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series? I can't find my paper.
No. See. Yeah. Like I said, you know that dang rule again. You know, you got to be 18 to run. See, I can run, since I'm only 16, I can run 1.3 and under. So that's right under a mile and a half. But when they go to mile and a half, like Homestead, Texas, Atlanta, you know, all those, Charlotte, all those places, I can't run. I can only run the short tracks, basically.
Okay, that's right, Gray. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. We have a bunch of callers on the line, Gray. Do you have time to take one caller and then let them ask you a question, and then we'll let you throw out a big shout out to your sponsors and where everybody can follow you out on Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, I'd love to.
I want to bring on my my good friend from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen International. My good friend, Todd Glenn. Todd, how's everything up in upstate New York? You still got power? Y'all ain't getting snow, are you?
No, we actually it's been warm today. We do have snow coming. Going to be down in the 20s.
Ooh. Well, I hate to tell you, we're in our 60s here in downtown Talladega, but anyway. Todd, you're in the pit stop. Tim and Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network with Mr. Greg Alden, driver from NTS Motorsports. Do you have any questions for him?
Greg, you were up to Watkins Glen this year, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I was.
Now, how did you like our road course?
Oh man, I actually put you know Watkins Glen and Canadian Tire in a different league, like. Out of all the races I ran this year, those two were by far my favorite. But we actually we almost won that race, man. We took the lead with about 20 to go, and with about 8 laps to go, I was still leading by about 5 car lengths over Andrew Ranger, and I lost the cylinder, and that pretty much sealed our fate. So I really enjoyed it. I was pretty fast right off the bat. You know, I don't know what it is about road courses. I came from motorcycle racing, so I don't know if that's an advantage or not, but I don't think it is. But I just know the throttle control and the elevation change is what I used to run, you know, back when I was 9, 10 years old on bikes. But I tell you what, Watkins Glen is one of the coolest and funnest racetracks and really all-around great facility.
Now, we were able – keep this under your hat. We were able to sneak into – see you guys, but you were busy, so we didn't get that chance to meet you, but I did get pictures of your car, and...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so next year, we're going again, so...
Oh, there you go.
We go, and we enjoy it. We're both disabled, so it's like our highlight.
Oh, that's cool, man. Well, it seems like a fun track to go to and watch, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. My girlfriend and her son, it was their first time there, so they really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. So good for you, man. Well, yeah, like I said, we will be there next year, so if we see you, be sure to come out and check us out. It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't miss it.
All right, Todd, thank you very much. Todd, I'll put you in mute because I know you want to talk to Greg's teammate, Brennan Newberry, coming up at the top of the hour here. That's why I'll put you over. Greg, thank you again very much for coming on, and I'll hit you up on Twitter. I'm at TD Lyman or at the Pit Stop Radio. I'll hit you up as soon as the show's over. But, Greg, you got the floor. We always give everybody that comes on the show a chance to thank their sponsors, thank anybody they want to thank, and tell everybody where they can follow you at on Twitter and Facebook, bud. You got it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man. Well, yeah, like you said, you know, you can follow me on my Twitter, at Greg Gauding, Facebook, at Greg Gauding, and Instagram, at Greg Gauding. So, yeah, I want to thank my primary sponsor, especially, you know, Krispy Kreme Donuts, NTS Motorsports, and just everybody throughout this whole season. I felt like we did a pretty good job, you know, coming back to third after all the terrible luck we had. So I want to thank my team, especially True Mood Takamoto Chevrolet, and everybody that was part of this whole NTS Motorsports year. I'm looking forward to going after the championship next year and winning a lot of races, and I'll do whatever it takes to win. So I'm really looking forward to 2015.
That sounds great, bud. And I hate to turn you loose. Can you stay on for just a couple more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I got somebody here that knows you very well, Miss Donna DeBoer, and she's just popped on, so let's bring Donna on, because I know y'all went out to eat in Martinville, and me and Steven Wilson had to eat hot dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hey, Donnie,
nice.
You're in the pit stop. It's Spanish Steven Wilson and Greg Golden. You got the floor, sweetie. Go ahead.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Steven. Hey, Greg. You know me.
Hey,
I have to call in and talk to you, honey. I just
want
to thank you again and your family. You gave me and my son such an awesome, awesome weekend to hang out with you guys and your team and your family, and we just love you so much. And, you know, I've been following your career for a while now. And wherever
you
go,
I appreciate that.
Where I'm going to be your, I'm going to be your number one fan there. And what you did for letting us stand on pit road and everything for breast cancer with Grandma, and what you did for her was just amazing and just so much fun. And I just love your family, and I love watching your career. And I know that we're going to see you in Victory Lane a lot, and I'm going to watch you all the way up to Sprint.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, hey, I was super happy that you were able to come out and check out, you know, what my kind of – what our deal is, you know, at the racetrack and stuff, being on pit road and stuff. So, yeah, thank you so much. And I really enjoyed hanging out with you and your son. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. You got one thing marked off in my bucket list, and that was to stand on pit road with a race team. So now
that's awesome.
My next,
cool.
My next one to get marked off is sit on a pit box.
Oh, I can make that happen.
Okay.
I can make that happen. Next time we come to Martinsville, I'll mark that off for you.
Oh, yeah. That was our first time at Martinsville, and it was I love it there because, you know, we only get to Richmond. But
right. Oh, yeah, Richmond,
so,
too. I'll be there at Richmond Racing, K&N.
Yeah, I know. Can't wait. We will definitely see you then.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much for your support.
Well, I will let you go, and
I
really enjoyed the show and really proud of your career and know you're going to go far. And please tell Chrissy and Dwayne, hello for me and the girls.
I will do that. Yes, ma'am.
Right,
hey, thank you so
take
much.
Take care.
Give your
and
son, give your son a hug for me.
All right,
I will.
Thank you.
All right, thank
bye,
you,
darling.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Thanks, Donna. Yeah, Gray, thanks for hanging on for that one because I knew she was going to call in and she might have heard me. But anyway, thank you again, bud. Tell Rusty.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for hooking – Tell Rusty thanks for hooking us up, and Donna was a big part of getting you her and Rusty was a big part of getting you on the show, and thank you again, bud, and I can't wait to meet you. I think mine and Steven's next watch. I know my next race is going to be Richmond in the spring, but Steven, do you have any last thoughts for Mr. Greg Golden?
Yeah, I got one quick question for you. How many of them Krispy Kreme donuts do you actually eat on a weekend?
Oh, man. I try to limit myself as much as I can. But, hey, when you eat one, you can't stop at one. I could probably eat a whole dozen by myself. So I love them, that's for sure. Not just because of my sponsor. I love them in general.
But I don't think there's too many people that won't agree with you on that one. I got to go and I got to get about two dozen at one time and eat about a dozen before I even get back to the house. But you're right. Once you eat one, you can't stop.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks again, Gray. And don't be a stranger, and congratulations on a great year that you had, and can't wait to see what's going to go on next year. We'll get you back on the show, and I'll hit you up on Twitter, bud. Thanks again. Y'all have a great off season and be safe, and we'll talk at you later, bud.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much for your time, and yes, sir, look forward to meeting you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, sir, you're welcome. Thanks, Gray.
See you, man.
All right, bud. All right, Steven, that was Gray Golden. I think he has he's a young driver. He has a great, promising career coming up. He's surrounded by a lot of good people. He's got a lot of good sponsors. I think he might – well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this might be your next slice bread, Steve.
Yeah, he sticks with it. You know, I've watched him. He's come up through the series, the K&N series, watched him a little bit with that. You know, he's been really interesting. Young kid, being able to come up through it, and really you just dig down deep. He's had some bad luck, as he said, over the season, not only in the trucks, but the K&N series. But, yeah, he, you know, NTS Motorsports, they're working their way up there, trying to be a better team week in and week out. And, you know, they're doing the best that they can. They're obviously a small team, and when you're a small team like that, you know, you go up against the you know, the Kyle Busch's of the weekend, and it's hard even for those guys. But you know, he'll do good. He sticks along with it for you know, next couple of years. You know, you'll see him up in the Xfinity series in 1 week, and I'll have to continue correcting myself on that one too.
Yeah, I'm like that too. Every time I go to see it, I want to get, and I'm still old school from back in the day whenever Bush sponsored it. And I'll still say Bush series, and I've about got used to Nationwide series. Now we got to get to this Xfinity series. But anyway, Stephen, okay, at the top of the hour, we've got Mr. Brendan Newberry, which is Greg Allen's teammate at NTS Motorsports. You want to talk a little bit about what we got, what we think might happen at Miami Homestead this weekend? You've got Kevin Harvick, which that number four car was getting some yonder. You got Harvick, Newman, Joey Logano, and who else is in there? Help me out, Stephen. I ain't got no paper.
Hamlin.
What's the four?
Hamlin.
Hamlin. That's right. So you have a Toyota, a Ford, two Chevrolets in the final four for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship at Miami Homestead Speedway. What do you think we're going to be looking into this weekend, bud? What do you think is going on? Which I know we ain't got no crystal ball, but I think Kevin Harvick could possibly get his first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship.
Well, no matter who wins this weekend, it's going to be their first Sprint Cup Championship. Ryan Newman has had a decent year. He's been very consistent over the year, but I'm not so sure if he's going to be able to pull it off in Miami. Kevin Harvick definitely has had one of the better teams all year long. Not only, in the race, but outside of the race, he's been backed with a good engineers at Stuart Haas Racing. They brought some good cars, Hendrick horsepower. It's hard to really bet against him. The only thing that I will say about the final four that are left competing next week at Homestead, Miami, Denny Hamlin is the only one with a win at Homestead, Miami. And, in fact, he has two wins, one in 2009, and he is the defending champion of that race from 2013. So he's the only one out of all of them that knows how to get around it and win at that racetrack. So it's going to be hard. I think it'll really come down to those two guys as long as nothing else happens. But who knows? We could be surprised, and Ryan Newman or Joey Logano may come up there and either win the race or be far enough ahead of the other guys in order to win the championship.
You're right. We never know. And I knew that you had that stat about Hamlin. And, the weather's going to be hot down there. And, Todd Bigsby brought up earlier, I think it was Todd that, it might not have been Todd. Somebody brought it up earlier about Newman. No, it was Reverend Joe, about Newman getting out of the car in Phoenix. And it was warm out there. I think the air temperature might have got up to 88 or something like that. And just like Megan Thomas, ABC 3340 meteorologist, said earlier, it's going to be warm down there too. And do you think some of the attrition might play into the scenario here going on? Just throwing that out there, Stephen. I know it's going to be warm, and then like you said, if this, that, whatever happens, I mean, it's just a toss up in the air, Steve. I mean, this is the best thing NASCAR has done in a very, very long time, and I applaud them for doing it, because like you said on one of our shows earlier, used to, you might be two races out going to, which back then was Atlanta, the final race, and Dale Earnhardt Sr. had already clinched. Just like Chase Elliott has already clinched, all he has to do is start.
Well, I mean, coming into a Homestead Miami, I don't think we're going to have too much attrition as far as that is concerned, other than outside of a few wrecks and things like that. We typically don't have a whole lot of cars that are going to go out due to mechanical failures, but, anything can happen. We're going to start the race during the day. We're going to end it at nighttime. So, those cars are going to change, and it's going to be whoever's team can make those changes mid-race, three-quarters of the way through the race, from the time that sun sets until darkness, is probably the one who's going to end up with the best overall finish out of everybody. But, things happen. You know, who knows what's going to happen. NASCAR did a heck of a job this year. We discussed early on in the year, we kind of reserved a little bit of judgment until we saw how it was going to all play out. But definitely, they've done one heck of a job this year with the chase. You know, the pressure has built. We're seeing grandstands being filled up. We're seeing TVs, the ratings going up. And I think that has to not only do, excuse me, with some of the on-track and off-track incidents, but I think a lot of people just really want to see how this thing plays out. Last Sunday, watching social media, and even Monday morning watching social media about, you know, who's in, who's out kind of thing, you know, there seems to be, you know, some NASCAR fans out there that seem a little angry about this. But you know what? You know, just because Dale Earnhardt Jr. isn't in this, just because Jeff Gordon isn't in this, doesn't mean that, you know, we shouldn't be happy about the changes that have been made. I mean, we're going to see a first-time champion no matter what's going to happen coming into Homestead. And, you know, we as NASCAR fans, you know, not only us in the media, but even fans that sit at home, you know, we can play armchair quarterback all day long if fans are buts. But no matter what, I think NASCAR has really done a heck of a job this year with getting this whole chase built out like they have. I don't think they could have asked for anything more than what they've gotten out of it. And, you know, I think it's overall good for the sport. People are talking, people are tuning in, and people are going to the races, and that's exactly what NASCAR was hoping when they instituted this new chase.
That's exactly right, Stephen. Just like you said right there at the end, people are talking. When people are talking about something, it's a good thing. And you're going to have people that, you know, you got your pros and cons and everything. You're going to have people say, well, NASCAR should do this. NASCAR should do that. Like I asked Clint Bowyer in the media center at Talladega Super Speedway this past race in October. I asked him, I said, do you think NASCAR needs to, you know, Clint, what do you think about the new chase format, and do you think NASCAR needs to tweak it? Well, Clint said he liked it, but then again, he don't like the idea you win, you're in, or if you don't win, you're in. I mean, you know, drivers are going to say this and that, just like you said. The most popular driver in NASCAR for years has been Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's not in there. Jeff Gordon just dropped out. He didn't make the Final Four. Jimmy Johnson, a lot of people like Casey Kane. And then you've got Ryan Newman that has not won a race that could possibly be your first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion that has not won a race. But, I mean, I really like it. And whenever people are talking about, like you said, Steven, when people talk about something, it's jabber-jabber. You got your pros and cons, and it's a good thing going. And NASCAR done a great thing. I think they need to leave it alone, leave it like it is. 16 drivers is in. You know, we talked at the first of the season that me and you both said there's not going to be 16 winners, and there were not 16 winners. And it comes down to Miami Homestead Speedway, to the Ford Championship weekend, to where you got four drivers, points reset. They're all, you might as well say, 0-0-0-0. First one to the start-finish line wins.
Yeah, I mean, most definitely. I really don't think that you can make any changes at this point. I think it's exactly perfect the way that it is. And going back to, you know, what I was saying is that, you know, I was watching the social media as I always do during the race, as I do with my coverage. And, you know, it's really interesting to see some of the comments that people are making, you know, about the new championship, about the new chase format, about this driver, about that driver. And, you know, I haven't seen this much commotion and this much talk, not only on social media, but outside of social media, in quite a long time. NASCAR, after each race, they have a fan engagement center, which they built just here a couple of years ago, and it tracks social media, things of that nature. And one of the statistics that they put out after Phoenix was is that the social media engagement was over 300 times more than it was the previous Phoenix race. So that's good, bad, and indifferent talking, but that's still 300% plus over 1 year ago. So how can you deny that NASCAR has not done something good for the sport and done something to get people talking, get people to the races, and really get people pumped up about who's going to win, who's not going to win, who's going to move on, and who's not going to move on?
Yeah, exactly right, Stephen. And you got that right. Phoenix was a sellout. When is the last time you heard a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series track sellout. Phoenix was a sellout. We were at Martinsville. Martinsville was damn near a sellout, like me and you talked. I was at Talladega. It wasn't a sellout, but there was a ton of people there. I think the new Chase scenario, Russell Brannon and I have talked, public relations director at Talladega Super Speedway. He said, Tim, our ticket sales was up blank, 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 blank. And he credits it to the new Chase scenario. And a lot of people say, well, we need to swap tracks around like NFL does, Major League Baseball. No, we don't. No, we don't. There's too much money, sponsorships involved. People want a road course in the race. No, no, no. Road courses were not made for NASCAR. I hate to say that. But they need to leave it just like it is and have the same Chase races that they're doing right now. I mean, I hate to keep harping on this. I probably said it 100 times. NASCAR hit a freaking home run. This is the best racing I've watched in years.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, the on-track competition in the Sprint Cup Series is better than it's been in 10-plus years. This, you cannot get any better racing. I'm sure that there's plenty of people out there that will disagree with me, and that's, you know, I will attribute that to because a particular driver that they may or may not follow made it in or did not make it in. But you know what? The competition out there is better than we've seen it anywhere in the last 10 or so years. I've been watching this thing since the late 80s, so that's almost 30 years I've been watching NASCAR and racing in various forms, and I don't think you could ask for anything else more than what you're getting. And going into this weekend at Homestead, Miami, they just put out today that they are completely sold out. So if that's a testament to what is going on in the competition in Sprint Cup Series, well, that's your answer right there. Two back-to-back weekends of complete sellouts.
Golly, just like Bobby Bowden used to say, well, dead gum, Stephen Wilson. I'm glad they said I did not know they were sold out. Dead gum. Stephen, at this time, we have the driver of the number 9 Chevrolet for NTS Motorsports and the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series, Mr. Brennan Newberry. Let's bring Brennan into the pit stop. Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Brennan, how you doing this evening, bud?
Good, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you again for taking time out. I'm glad Rusty and CJ, we all got together. We got an NTS Motorsports Night show. Perfect. We just got through talking to Gray, super young man. But, Brennan, thanks again. And if I can I – I've been sitting here talking for a while. I want to hand you over to my good friend Stephen Wilson. I'm going to run take a pit stop, Stephen. Give me about 2 minutes. I'll be right back.
Sounds good, bud. Hey, Brennan, Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. This is about the second or third time I've been able to talk to you this year. We talked a little bit there at Langley Speedway when you were in town for the K&N Series race. You've had a tough season back and forth. You know, you've had some bright moments, and, you know, I'll take a look at last weekend at Phoenix. You guys nailed the wall, had a tire go out there, and, you know, kind of overall, how do you feel that, you know, in the face of what's happened over the year, how do you feel that you guys have done over the year? What do you feel like you can do next year to improve upon some of your advances that you've made over the 2014 year, and not only K&N, but in the nationwide soon-to-be Xfinity Series?
Yeah, definitely, Stephen. It's really good to talk to you, man. And this is it's been an up-and-down season, like you said. I mean, we started out, you know, I felt like we were going to be pretty good there. Whenever we ran, you know, the races there, you know, starting in Daytona with the, K&N Pro Series East Division at New Smyrna and at the Battle of the Backstretch in Daytona. We thought we had a really good showing there. We qualified, you know, fifth for the, the Battle of the Backstretch and ran really good there and didn't get that finish, didn't get the finish in the Truck Series at Daytona. And like you said, we've had very bright moments. Went out to Phoenix for the, K&N Pro Series West Division season opener, and I finished second there to Cole Custer, another, you know, up-and-coming driver in the K&N Pro Series division, and went to Bristol and finished fourth there, right behind my teammate Greg Gaulding, which we were talking to before, and, you know, had really good shots, you know, for good runs, like at Dover in the Camping World Truck Series, and you know, got a top 10 in at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. And over the last 8 weeks, you know, basically I feel like I've turned over a leaf, and just Motorsports has turned over a leaf. We've made our trucks better. We've made our equipment better. We've made our team better. And now that's kind of been at the help in the hands of Chris Rice coming in, taking over our competition side of things. It's been huge and helpful for us to, you know, to have him come over and really, you know, make us stick to a plan. Chris Rice is a very big planner. He's a very big organizer, and he's all about executing the plan and his idea for each and every weekend. And for me, his goal was to finish every single lap. You know, he says ATL every single weekend. And once I finish the laps, he says you should be in a good position for a top 10 finish. And I feel like I've been there. We've had some small adversity, you know, like you mentioned before, come after us. You know, at Chicago, we had a really fast truck early on in the year. And, you know, we started outside pole with Johnny Sauter, had a, you know, just had a problem there, you know, early on in the run, had a speeding penalty, which was my fault. And that's something I had to learn to work on. We had, you know, problems at Texas, and we were having a tire go down in Phoenix in the truck race before we got spun out there and could just never get our spots back. But we've been fast everywhere. We've come off the gate, and we've been top five, top 10 in practice, you know, at least over the last 5 to 6 races, which has been awesome for our organization. It's been awesome for me as a driver. It's been awesome for NTS Motorsports. And like you're saying, moving forward, you know, for this season, I feel like we had a B+ from where we were last year to how we started out the season, to how we're ending the season. We're ending it very strong. Like I said, our trucks are better. I'm better. We've had some really great talent come over to NTS Motorsports and help us out, like Austin Dillon, Justin Lofton, Ron Horn today. And they've really helped improve our program. So in order to keep improving, I feel like we need, you know, drivers like that. We need great people like Chris Rice to help come in and put a plan together, help us improve on our trucks and help us just keep speed and then keep wind in ourselves from this season moving forward.
And this year, you've essentially split your time between 4 different series, the Canyon East and West, the Truck Series, and the Nationwide Series races, which you've been able to go to some tracks that you've seen before, some tracks that you haven't seen before in these series, and you're in a multitude of different vehicles out there. How do you feel that makes you out to be a better driver, being able to get into some seat time with multiple drivers in different series that you may or not have been come in contact before?
Definitely. I mean, to have opportunities to run in many different series on many different tracks, it's made me a lot more diversified as a driver. I feel like I'm more well-rounded, hopping back and forth between the Bi-Spy tire and the K&M Pro Series divisions to the radial tires that's in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series and in the NASCAR Nationwide Series. It's really made me step up as a driver. It's really made me have to, you know, really take notes on exactly what I've done week in and week out to make sure that whenever I go back from a truck to a K&N car or from a K&N car to a Nationwide car, that I know exactly what to expect when it comes to the tire. And it's really helped me to get even more track time when I get to run 2 races in a weekend, like I did this past weekend, running the Camping World Truck Series race and NASCAR Nationwide Series race at Phoenix. Just more laps, more track time. You know, you can't test as much as you want to anymore, and you can't go out and just get laps and work on things, you know, as a rookie driver in a lot of these series, a lot of these places I haven't been to before. So getting that extra seat time in one weekend has definitely been a huge improvement for me.
And with splitting your time this year, how do you feel that puts you on par or puts you in your goal set of mind moving into 2015 and beyond about where you would like to be, whether it be full-time in the Truck Series or soon to be Xfinity Series? Or do you feel that you're comfortable at this moment running these multitude of series out there to be a better driver, be more rounded, as you said?
I think that this year my main goal was to run the, you know, NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, you know, in a limited schedule and run the full time K&M Pro Series East Division. So I ran, you know, the full East Division, and that's because I really wanted to go for, you know, for the points in that division. Like you said, things didn't fall our way, but we had bright moments and we had good success. I was always slated to run just a limited amount of races in the Camping World Truck Series, and the NASCAR Nationwide Series opportunity was actually given to me by Bobby Dodder and SS Greenlight Racing. It wasn't anything to do with our team, NTS Motorsports. They just offered me the ride one weekend at New Hampshire because the driver that they had in it unfortunately couldn't drive, and I've you know developed a relationship with Bobby Dodder and their people. You know, obviously, the Guardians are great friends with them, so the fact that I was able to, you know, get in that car for them at New Hampshire and we ran well and we had a really good, you know, finish, you know, for their team, what they'd done all season, you know, they offered to have me back at Watkins Glen, at Chicago, and the very last race I ran, which was Phoenix, you know, this past weekend. And so for me, moving forward, I feel comfortable in the Nationwide cars. I feel like I'm improving and definitely, you know, a lot more competitive week in, week out in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. So for me, moving forward, I definitely feel like if I was able to get, you know, sit down with, you know, my dad, Bob Newbury, the owner of NTS Motorsports, and our competition director, Chris Rice, and sit down and really work on our 2015 plans. I would have to say I would love to run, you know, a full NASCAR Camping World Truck Series schedule in 2015 and do a limited time NASCAR Nationwide Series. And I think that's, you know, that I think that'd really be good for me, and maybe even sprinkle in a couple of the K&M Pro Series East Division races just to keep me in the seat full time. Really, everything is open for me right now, which is a really awesome opportunity, you know, given to me obviously by NTS Motorsports and my dad, a team that we built when I was about 9 years old, you know, from Bakersfield, California. We've only been in North Carolina for 2 years, and we've just built our company up and built our organization up. And to take our, you know, our racing from California to North Carolina and keep building it and have the amazing people that have helped us so far, it sure has been a ride, Stephen.
And my final question I got for you is that you talked a little bit about Chris Rice coming over to you guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he was with James Buescher at Rap Racing at one point. But how does bringing guys like that over into a series, especially in the truck series, and over into your competition as far as NTS Motorsports as a whole, how does that make you a better team, especially knowing that you have to go up against guys, especially in the truck series, like the Kyle Busch Motorsports out there?
Well, and the way that, you know, I've always been taught it is you're only as good as the people that you surround yourself with, and we feel like in NTS Motorsports, and even myself as a driver, I've always tried to surround myself with the best people possible. And fortunately for me, it's been, you know, Chris Rice, who has come over and really put forth a lot of effort. We've had great people come in and help run our company before. But the difference with Chris is, you know, we just hit it off, you know, right away. He had a plan. He had a vision for what he wants for NTS Motorsports. And on the competition side, he has, you know, taken our basically what we've had, and he has just, you know, simplified it. He said, here's how we can do it better. Here's you know, what I've learned over my years. And having someone with that kind of experience, having someone with that kind of knowledge, and just having that type of person that believes in you. Chris Rice believes in what we want to do with NTS Motorsports in the future of, you know, building it up and making it a, you know, a team that can compete with the KBM teams, that can compete with the Red Horses and the different teams, you know, in the series, especially Camping World Truck Series, that's always so competitive. You know, he feels that we can be one of the top teams going into next season. And so he's instilled a lot of, you know, confidence in me. He's instilled a lot of confidence in our people, and he is a leader. He has taken everybody and said, here, if you follow me, if you follow this plan, you know, if you jump on my bandwagon, we can move forward. And I think you've really seen the beginning, you know, of that over the last 8 weeks.
Well, Brandon, I appreciate you taking the time to come on our show tonight. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. It's good talking to you again. Hope to see you at the track next year, and good luck in 2015.
Yeah, sounds good, Stephen. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen. Brandon, right off the bat, I want to congratulate you on a 16th place finish in the GunBroker.com Chevrolet at the 20th run of the Lucas Oil 150 at Phoenix this past weekend. Great job, bud. Just wanted to touch up. You've had 12 starts in the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series. You got one coming up here at Homestead Miami Speedway. You're going down there this weekend. We had Gray on earlier, and both of y'all's best finishes was at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. And Gray said that was the first time that he had ever seen the place. Have you ever raced there, Brennan, or is road course your specialty? Just want to throw it out there, bud.
Yeah, no, you know, I grew up racing go-karts in California, so I don't know what it is about it. I've always enjoyed going to road course races. I know Gray is, you know, is very a big believer in road courses. He loves them. He enjoys them, and, you know, every time I've gone over to his house, he's always been playing, you know, the F1 races on TV. He always plays the road courses on the simulator that we have over at the shop. And so he's a big fan of them, and so am I. I mean, I've always enjoyed road races. It's something different. And I think, you know, just being able to fall back on my go-karting experience as a young kid, you know, that's what really helped help me go into, you know, these road races with a lot of confidence. You know, I got to race, I think it was four this season. I got to race both of the NASCAR K&M Pro Series road races, one at VIR and one at Watkins Glen. I had the opportunity to run in the Camper World Truck Series race, like you said, at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, and I got to race again, you know, in the NASCAR Nationwide Series at Watkins Glen because of SS Greenlight and Bobby Dodder. So I've had a lot of experience when it comes to road courses, and I've had, you know, the amazing opportunity to go left and right, and I don't know what it is about them that I enjoy so much, but it's just a blast to go to those. And you know, for what it's worth, I never intended or expected myself to be a road racer. It was just something that happened. But I feel like, you know, those are just cool races that you get to go to, just something different. But I also feel like, you know, because of the confidence I gained at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, getting that seventh place finish, my second top 10 of my career, you know, it's given me confidence to go to a lot of these mile and a half racetracks and say, man, if I can do it on a road course I've only been to once, I can do it on an oval track I've been through multiple times. And so we've had speed when we go to the Chicago, and when we went to Texas, when we went to Dover earlier this year, and it's really great to see. I think, you know, in order to be a champion, in order to be the best, you have to be very well-rounded, and that's, you know, being able to do good at the short tracks, at the intermediate tracks, at the road courses, and so fortunately I've been able to find success and have speed at every single track that I've gone to.
Sounds good, bud. And excuse me. I missed out on some of Steven's and your stuff. Me and Gray had, well, myself and Gray and Steven, we had talked about earlier about far as Nationwide Series stuff and the age, you know, you have to be a certain age. How many NASCAR, I keep wanting to say Nationwide Series, Brennan, sorry, NASCAR Xfinity Series races that are y'all planning to run next year, and do y'all plan on maybe running some Cup stuff down the road?
I mean, for NTS Motorsports, and actually for myself, you know, I guess for NTS Motorsports, our goal is to be the best in whatever series we're in, you know, and just like you've mentioned before, having Gray, you know, with us next year, he isn't old enough to run all of the Camper World Truck Series races, so he'll again have to be in, you know, a lower division, whether it be the NASCAR K&M Pro Series division or the ARCA Racing Series division. You know, those are events and series that he can race in and do the part-time in the trucks again. With me running part-time in the K&M Pro Series East division next year, I'm not really sure if that's something that's in our plans, but I definitely, just like I mentioned to Steven, I would love to be able to get the opportunity from NTS Motorsports to hop back into trucks full-time again. I think that's right now where my confidence is, and I feel like we keep building our team each and every week. I keep building my confidence, and I feel like, you know, just for what we can do there. And having the opportunity from Bobby Dodder and SS Greenlight Racing to go in the NASCAR soon-to-be Xfinity Series this season for full races, that gave me confidence that whenever I am ready to move up, whenever I do get another opportunity, that I know I can hop in one of those cars and hopefully, you know, be able to put a good result out. But you know, Tim, just like just like I think most of the race car drivers, I want to one day be in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. That's my goal. That's my dream. That's what I've been working so hard at. I've raced since I was 9 years old and realized when I was 16 that this is exactly what I want to do. You know, this is the career path I want to take for myself. And I've worked hard. I've moved away from my California home and I moved over to North Carolina basically by myself. And I'm overseeing and my dad race team NTS Motorsports for him and just kind of seeing the in and outs of what the NASCAR team looks like and what the community is over here. And it is completely different than anything I've ever imagined. and so basically because of that, I don't want to jump up too soon and not really give myself a fair shot. Well, I want to make sure that, you know, I have success in everything I do and I get the most out of every series I'm in so I can keep building upon what I have. And I feel like for me, the Camp World Truck Series is where I belong, where I can get the most experience. And then I'll, you know, hopefully go into the Xfinity Series and have a few years in that, you know, given the right opportunity, and then, you know, if I am ready from there, and that's going to be an adjustment call on, you know, on the teams, on myself. And so I want to get there when I'm ready, and I want to get there, you know, whenever I do hop into a cup car for the first time for a cup race, that I have an opportunity to put a good finish together, and I'm confident in my abilities to go out there and run well. I don't want to be a start parker. I want to go out there and be a chase contender. I want to go out there and be a race winner. And that's the goal. I'm sure it's not all going to be able to come at once, but whenever I do get there, I want to make sure that I'm 100% ready for whatever is thrown at me.
I totally agree, Ben. And I know your time is short, but do you have time to take a question? The phone lines have lit up. Do you have time to take one question from a caller?
Of course, Tim, yeah.
Okay. I want to bring on my good friend, Rowdy Maglite. I met him at Talladega Super Speedway this time, finally. And he is a good friend of mine. He's just a little bit west of me here from Talladega. He's over in Alabaster. Let's bring Rowdy in the pit stop.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Good evening, everybody. Hey, let that light shine tonight.
What's going on, bud?
Listen, tonight's a beautiful night. I'm resting up from the Gun Broker late night show on Friday night. Y'all kept me up late, Brandon. That was past my bedtime.
I know, man. I apologize about that. Actually, Rowdy and I met, you know, I believe it was last year as well there, Tim. So he and I are old friends, and he was a really cool person to talk to. He told me his entire story, and I believe you had a few family members with you when we met, and a couple of your friends. So it was very cool to meet him, and he was a very spiritual guy. He and I, conversed about some deep life, and it was actually really cool. Yeah, it was only 10 minutes, but I felt like we had known each other for a long time. So it's really cool that he got to come on the show and talk to you, man. It'd be good to talk to you, Rowdy.
Well, listen, I was gonna make it a point to call in tonight. Brandon, our path didn't cross this year, but trust me, my spirit was with you. We sat down, my grandson and granddaughters, we watched you on the couch at the few times I was at home to be able to watch the race. I've been able, fortunate, God's blessed me to hang out with the ARCA group. And, I was in Michigan. I don't understand how we didn't cross this year, Brandon, but I want to tell everybody, if you've got a child at the track, to go out and get an autograph from this young man, because he is absolutely incredible. He's somebody that you would want your child to pattern their life after. And, Brandon, it's great. NASCAR's in great hands. I see a lot of great talent coming up, and you're part of that talent. And it's wonderful to have people in our sport that you can admire and have as a role model. And, Brandon, I appreciate it, man.
Rowdy, I appreciate, you know, being able to meet you. And it's funny that you and Tim are really good friends, and it just shows how small this world is. And, you know, just like you mentioned, you know, NASCAR is racing. It is a sport. You know, we are entertainers out there, but more than anything, NASCAR and racing, it's family, man. This is what we do. This is all my family and I have ever done together. You know, they've sacrificed and dedicated a lot of their time to me, and they've always supported me in everything I've done. And
I remember you telling me your inspirational story, and you know, it just reminded me that, you know, no goal or no dream is too big, and so the fact that I, you know, get to race on some of NASCAR's biggest stages, you know, throughout the year, throughout my career, and still be able to meet great people along the way, that makes everything worth it for sure.
Absolutely, Brandon. I appreciate you the way you show and bring yourself to the forefront. And, you know, like God has blessed me to meet wonderful people like Tim and Suzanne, and to be able to come on the show. And it's been incredible. All you got to do is look up and believe, and he's gonna provide for you. And, Brandon, I appreciate
Amen.
Your time, brother. And until next time our paths cross, hopefully I'll see you in Daytona. We're making plans. We're working on the car this weekend for Daytona. You know, everybody's making plans now. It sounds like, you know, it's crazy you hadn't finished the year up in what y'all doing now, and we're already working on the cars for ARCA. So it never lets up. It never lets up. But
no,
I appreciate
Rowdy,
Brandon, Tim.
No, man, I appreciate you. And you're right, dude. It, you know, basically, when the checkered flag flies on Sunday after the four hundred weekend on the Spring Cup season and the champion is crowned, man, the checkered flag calls in 2014, the green flag already waves on 2015. That's what's great about our sport. It we may have an off season, but it really is a year round thing because it's always going on in our minds.
Well, I'm envying you because it's going to be freezing here and beautiful weather in Homestead, and I was at Homestead last year. But I have to pick and choose. I'm going to go to the ARCA banquet this year, so I kind of laid back on the final at Homestead. But Tim, y'all had brought up about the chase. I think we're dead on target with our chase with the 16. It's the most exciting that I've seen racing. I had more people to tell me they watched the race Sunday than I've had in a long time. So I think let's just keep going what we got, and let's make it all work. And, Brandon, I can't wait to see you get to the top of the mountain, brother.
I appreciate that. Hopefully this weekend in Homestead, buddy.
Hey, we're going to be right here rooting for you. I appreciate it. Thanks, y'all.
Hey, Rowdy, hold on 1 minute. Brandon, I wanna tell this story. You know, you're talking about how small the world is. Rowdy, you can correct me if I'm wrong. It was Friday at Talladega Super Speedway because Suzanne couldn't get off work. She had to come out and get her credentials and come out Saturday and Sunday. Brandon, I left the media center there in Talladega Super Speedway, and I was going toward the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series garage, and I probably run by you. Sorry if I didn't speak, but I was on my phone. You know how everything is. And right there where you go through where they check your credentials, my good friend Mr. Vincent was there, and this older gentleman, I can't remember his name, but I looked up and I seen this guy, and he had the Under Armour hat on, and I looked and I pointed and I said, "Rowdy." He said, "Tim." I said, "Finally glad to meet you." I mean, that's just how small the world is. Have never met him until then. Talked to him on Facebook, and we talked for a while. He gave me one of his little bracelet things. And Rowdy, you've got to send Suzanne your address. I've got a T-shirt for you too that she's going to send you. But anyway, Rowdy, thanks for being a good friend. Thanks for being a great supporter of the show.
Hey, I appreciate it, Tim. It's just, hey, listen, it goes to show, if you want to be positive, you can make good things are going to come to you. You can lay in the ditch and be negative till the world comes to an end, or you can get up, jump on your feet, and stay positive. And I'm living proof, stay positive. It'll come to you, baby. Look up, it'll come to you. Let that light shine.
Amen, Rowdy. Thank you very much, bud.
Thank y'all. Appreciate your time tonight. Good luck, Brandon.
I appreciate it, Rowdy.
Care, Rowdy. Okay, Brandon, I did not know that y'all were that good of friends. I run up on him, and we've talked on Facebook and everything, and I seen that Under Armour hat, and I said, Oh, my goodness. There's Rowdy. And he just lived just right across the state from me. Anyway, Brennan, I know you're busy. Stephen, do you have any last questions, any thoughts for Brennan Newberry going into his final NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race at Miami Homestead Speedway this weekend?
I do not. Good luck this weekend, Bud, at Homestead. Good luck in 2015. And hopefully, as I said earlier, hopefully we'll run across one another again next year at the racetrack.
Yeah, I sure hope so, man. Tim, Stephen, thank you very much for having me on the show, guys. I really appreciate it. This is just, you know, some of the cool things I get to do, you know, as a race car driver, that's to get to come on shows like this and be able to talk about something I'm so passionate about, something I care about and I've put so much time and effort into. And again, I can't do it without NTS Motorsports. My parents, Bob, Monica, and Newberry, my sisters, Stephanie, and Devin, our entire supporters from Bakersfield, California, all the way to Kernersville, North Carolina. And it's pretty amazing what we've been able to, accomplish in such a short amount of time. And it definitely wouldn't be without, amazing sponsors like GunBroker.com that was on our truck this weekend, and especially Core 24. That's Core with a Q, O-R-E, the number 24. It's the only 24-hour antimicrobial hand purifier. Spray on your hands, and for 24 hours, your hands are protected from any and all germs. It's non-harmful, non-toxic, and non-flammable. It is incredible stuff. It will keep you and your family safe from any sort of epidemic that's going on in the world right now. I know, Ebola has been very big, and even though Core 24 cannot, stop it, it's not the cure. It can help somewhat prevent the spread of germs, and that's key for keeping people healthy and being able to allow people to come to the race each and every weekend and enjoy some hard racing and fun times. So, again, guys, I really appreciate you guys having me on, and I look forward to talking to you guys soon.
Brennan, we had a blast. Thank you very much, bud. And if you want to throw out there where everybody can follow you at on Twitter and Facebook, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, definitely, Tim. You can follow me on I have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all at Brennan Newberry. It's B-R-E-N-N-A-N Newberry, N-A-W-B-E-R-R-Y. You can follow, our team at Team NTS. We have the at Team NTS 9 and then 24 page, and also the at Team NTS 20 page, which you can, find out whether it's K&N or truck or whatever series we're racing in. And then you can also, look up our sponsors, Gray Ass Krispy Kreme, and I know that they're on Twitter, and I know Gemini Southern's also there as well. And then, my sponsor, Core 24, at Core 24 Hand Purifier. And that's Core with the Q, remember. So, again, this is an amazing deal. I'm excited to go to Homestead for the Ford weekend. Hopefully I can get my Chevrolet up there. And I know it's a Ford race weekend, but I definitely think a Chevrolet is going to win the race. And then I think it could be my number 9 Core 24 Chevrolet. I really think we have a good shot at it. We've been working hard. Our crew chief Ryan McKinney and I are going there with one goal, and that's to get the checkered and get the win. So I'm really looking forward to heading out there tomorrow.
Sounds great, Brennan. Thank you again very much, and I will hit you up on Twitter once I get through with this show and everything. I'll hit you up, and thanks again, and tell CJ thank you very much. Tell Rusty thank you very much. And good luck this weekend at Miami Homestead and NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And we will be watching and we will be pulling for you, Brennan. Be safe, bud.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, bud. Take care now.
Sounds good.
All right, Stephen. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour of the second hour. I apologize. I have never given you this opportunity to put out there about what all you got going on as far as your website and everything. You got the floor, bud. If you got time, go ahead and talk about your website and Speedway Digest and Save the Speedway and all that.
Yeah. Well, we're getting ready to shut it down for the season. We got one more week left, and unfortunately, we've got a got a long off season coming. I think it's about 90 days or so we got going on. We don't update the site too often during the off season. I get to take a little bit of a vacation out to the Cayman Islands, and it's been a long season, and And I hope everybody, you know, follows along with us, SpeedwayDigest.com. We try and do as many, we do just about every single race during the year, race updates and things like that. So it's one of the things that we've become very good at over our 5 years that we've been out there. And, you know, everybody follow us on Twitter at Speedway Digest. We're on Facebook, Speedway Digest also. And, you know, just follow along. You know, we've got a couple of new changes that we're going to make in the off season for next year. We're looking for one or two writers out there. Anybody out there listening, interested, hit me up. Let me know. You can find my information on SpeedwayDigest.com. We've got at least one writer spot open for next year. So if you're interested in writing about NASCAR or writing about auto racing in general, let me know. Be glad to put you out there and let you see what you can do.
Well, Steven, if I could write, I would be glad to help you out, but I have to take my shoes off to count to 10.
Hey, look, you know, as I tell people, I'm not the greatest journalist in the world. I don't claim to be the professor of journalism. Most of my background comes in the public relations, technical aspects, social media side of covering this sport, and that's what I know I'm good at, and that's why I leave it to my writers, you know, Brett, Kyle, Joseph, Adam, all those guys that write for me every single weekend. You know, they do a heck of a job week in and week out of covering not only NASCAR, but everything in between, and I try and leave it to them because that's what they're good at.
You got that right, bud. Yeah, sorry. You know, Steve, we're coming up on the end of our first season, you and I together, and it's been a great one, bud. I've enjoyed it, and I look for many more seasons to come as far as the Speedway Digest Radio Network. It's been a blast.
Yeah, man.
And
oh, yeah, it's been fun all year long having you, all our great guests that we've had on. You know, this has just been amazing that some of the people that we've had on that we've gotten to talk to over the year, and you know, we've gotten to run our mouths a little bit about NASCAR and, you know, all of the things going on in the sport, and we're going to continue to do so throughout the off season. And I appreciate the opportunity for you bringing me on as your co-host, and appreciate you, you know, taking your time out for as much as you do for the show each and every week.
You're very welcome, bud. And I want to thank you for, you know, I know you're tied up with the SpeedwayDigest.com and myself and Suzanne, you know, we sort of handle the radio side of it, and Miss Anne Marie helps, and, you know, everything's going good, and we look forward to going on into the next year, and, you know, I keep saying this, but I'm going to go ahead and bring it up. You know, you do SpeedwayDigest.com, excuse me, and I do the little radio thing, you know. I think we ought to name Anne Marie Wilson and Suzanne Despain, owners of the Speedway Digest Radio Network. What do you think? We'll let them be owners, and me and you just work for them, or you think that's a bad idea?
Well, now we can go ahead and do that. You know, that'll be fine. And you know, as I said, appreciate everything this year. And you know, we'll talk next week when we crown some champions there at Homestead.
Sounds good, bud. And like I said, I don't know if you heard me earlier. We've got Humpy Wheeler coming on at 7:30 Eastern Time next Tuesday night, so that would be something to see what he thinks about this new chase format and everything that went on at Miami Homestead Speedway. Steven, thanks again, bud. I'll talk at you later, and can't wait for this weekend.
Stand for it, bud. Talk to you next week. Bye.
All right, Tim. Tell Ms. Anne Marie and kids we said hello, bud.
Tone and it's sunshine. ones. We're at a margarita bar. Whatever happens, happens. And there's a reggae band full of dreadheads just sitting in the corner laughing. Well, my baby walks over, drops a 20 in the jar. She smiles and shakes it at me. Yeah, she gets them going, she gets them playing a little. Don't worry, be happy. And it's sunshine. Blue eyes, tan lines, blue tide rolling, white sand, cocaine, coolie in my hand, just a summertime strolling, chilling breezes, sipping, singing.